today. We're going to conclude this four-part mini-series that we've been doing in the book of Proverbs. We're going to be talking about a subject that is very practical, that involves every one of us. And just as a way of sharpening our thoughts to consider this subject, I'm going to read these verses from Proverbs chapter 6. We're talking about the subject, of course, of work. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you that your word speaks to our lives, the real situations of life. And we just pray this morning, as we come to consider this important subject of work, that you would help us, Lord, to hear what you would say to us. Lord, that we might be challenged by your word, and that maybe the attitudes that we have towards our work and the diligence with which we carry out our work, Lord, might accord more closely with your holy will and purposes. Amen. Some people don't realize that right from the very word go, that it was God's will that we should be hard workers. If you look at Genesis chapter 2, you will see that the job that God gave to Adam in the Garden of Eden was to look after the garden and to be busy in tending to it. And Adam got a bit lonely and maybe needed an extra helping hand in that work. And so God created Eve for him. She was to be his helper in the work that he was doing there in the garden. It was only after Adam and Eve sinned that work became a burden. Prior to that, it was just something that kept them busy and maybe made life enjoyable for them even. It's hard for us to imagine, but maybe that's the way that it was. There are people today who will do anything they possibly can to get out of work. People who regularly take sickies. One of my sons, in a former job, was actually told by the boss to claim sickies when he wasn't sick. And of course, that put him in a very awkward position as a young apprentice. There are people who have a bad attitude to work. They don't give value for money to the boss or the company that they work for. They steal time during breaks. They waste time on the job. They're always finding excuses to avoid doing what they should. They can't be trusted when the boss isn't watching. They don't give 100% effort. And I think you know the kind of people that I'm talking about. I'm sure that there aren't any of those sort of people here this morning, but those people exist. We live today in what is called the age of entitlement. Entitlement tells us that we should expect that the world will owe us a comfortable living. And yes, let's be true, there are some people in society who do deserve to be cared for. And Centrelink and pensions and those things are there to provide a safety net for people who are in those special cases of need. We should be a compassionate nation. We should help the weak and the vulnerable in our society. But wherever possible, if we're able, we should have a work ethic that leads us to provide for ourselves and contributes to the wider good of society. We need people who are workers and have got a good attitude towards their work. One of the greatest compliments that you can pay to somebody is that they're a good worker or that they do a good job. Well, with that background, let's have a closer look at what the Proverbs have to say, first of all, about the lazy person. In our society, we would call that person a bludger. Proverbs chapter 6 in verse 6 calls him a sluggard. That's a pretty solid word, isn't it? How do you like to be called a sluggard? Anyway, let's have a look at the profile of a bludger. Proverbs chapter 6 verses 9 to 11, the verses we read a moment ago. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. There are many of the Proverbs which describe the lazy person as being someone who can't get out of bed. These people need more than an alarm clock. What they need is a bomb. They need self-discipline to react when that alarm goes off. There are some people who are always saying how tired they feel. They need more sleep. Well, they should go to bed earlier. They should get off the phone or switch off the Facebook or the TV or whatever the case may be. We've all got 24 hours in a day. The President of America has 24 hours in a day. And we need to learn to manage our time in such a way that when the alarm clock does go off at 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever the case might be, we can get out of bed and get on with the business of the day and work hard at it. Sleep habits and being a productive worker are directly related. Can you imagine a dairy farmer who couldn't get out of bed in the morning to milk his cows? He'd be out of business within a week. All right, so the lazy person is someone who sleeps too much. Proverbs 14, verse 23. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. The lazy person is all talk and no action. They're full of ideas. They're always giving free advice. They're quick to talk, but they're not much use when there's work to be done. Don't you love these people? We have them around the place, and they drive us crazy. Proverbs 12:11. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. This is the person who's a dreamer. They're always going to invent something. They're always going to find a new way of doing something to save the world, maybe make a fortune with minimum effort. But are their plans realistic? Are they practical? Are they affordable? I don't know who said it, but someone said, the road to failure is paved with good intentions. And there are people out there who have all sorts of good intentions, and they dream up all sorts of great ideas, but none of them ever become reality. Another feature of a lazy person, Proverbs 20, verse 4. Sluggards do not plough in season, so at harvest time they look but find nothing. This is the guy who's a procrastinator. They keep putting things off. I don't know how many of you have lived in the country, but to get a harvest, you've got to put in months of hard work in order to get there. You want to grow a crop of wheat or cotton or sorghum, and they were the crops that were grown around where I lived for over 20 years. I saw how much hard work the farmers had to put into producing those crops at the harvest time. They had to work the soil. They had to irrigate before they planted the crop, and then they irrigated again afterwards. They were always treating their ground for weeds. Hour after hour, day after day, week after week, in order to be able to produce that harvest which would come perhaps 3, 4, 5 months later on. If you don't plough, you don't harvest. It's as simple as that. Nothing happens for free in this world. You've got to work for it. You've got to plan ahead. Proverbs 21:17, whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich. Well, here we have the person who loves the party scene. Today, I guess we call them party animals. All right, their priorities are all messed up. Yes, don't get me wrong, there's a time and a place to be able to enjoy yourself. But only when the work's already done. All right, you work first before you party. And if you're trying to burn the candle at both ends, you're going to end up in trouble. There are some people who pride themselves on being able to burn the candle at both ends for a time. It's not going to work long term, I can assure you. And where are we up to? Proverbs 22 verse 13. Sorry, Proverbs 21, 17. No, Proverbs 22, 13. The sluggard says, there's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the public square. Any excuse is good enough to get out of work, isn't it? You'd be amazed at the excuses that people would come up with to try and get a doctor's certificate. Anyway, what we have in those verses there is a picture of a lazy person. This person's disorganized, they're lacking in self-discipline, they're full of talk and grand schemes, but they're out of touch with reality. They're always putting things off and making excuses. And perhaps they're caught up in a lifestyle that they simply cannot afford. That's not a pretty picture. And yet that's the way it is with people who are lazy, who are bludgers. Well, what's the payoff for living like that? Well, this is the end result of laziness. Once again, the picture is bleak. Proverbs 12 verse 4. No, that's not the verse that I'm looking for. Proverbs 13 verse 4. I'll look it up for you because this is what it says. The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. The sluggard craves and gets nothing. Laziness in the end results in a dissatisfying life. The dreams of the lazy person don't get realized. All the talk ends up being just that. It's just talk. And one day you wake up and you realize that you've wasted your life. The dreams come to nothing. It's very sad. If you want to accomplish those goals that you have set for yourself in life, you have to work hard in order to achieve them. There was an economics professor who announced to his class that the next week he was going to give a special lecture on how to succeed in life. The day came and the students were there. They all turned up for lectures that day and they were waiting there breathlessly with their pens in their hands ready to take down this message that the professor was going to deliver. Well, I guess these days they would have had their laptops or their iPads or something. Right, he stood up in front of his class that day and with great passion he said, you've got to work. You've got to work. You've got to work. And then he sat down. The lecture was over. But you see, you can look for the magic in life, but at the end of the day, if you're not prepared to work, it's not going to happen. There aren't shortcuts in this life. Are there, Andrew? We've got Andrew Prince sitting here. For the last 6 or 7 years or more, Andrew's been getting up at about 4 o'clock in the morning to work on his PhD thesis. No shortcuts, are there, Andrew? You want to get there? You've got to be prepared to roll your sleeves up and work work hard. And that's what the Proverbs here are telling us. Proverbs 10:26, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so are sluggards to those who send them. The lazy person is a frustration to the people around them, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. Lazy people annoy their parents because they can't look after themselves and clean their rooms and do things on time. They annoy the boss at work. They annoy their friends. Generally, their relationships don't work as well because they're unreliable. They let people down. They get a reputation for being lazy. Proverbs 24:33-34, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed bandit. There are numerous proverbs which remind us of this outcome. Eventually, laziness leads to poverty. It's a fact of life. If you're not prepared to work, then you don't deserve to eat. Parents, teach your children to work. Don't let them get away with laziness. If they're being slack, don't do everything for them. You need to teach them. Teach them to keep their rooms tidy. Teach them to clean up after messes that they make. Teach them to care for their toys and their bikes and those sorts of things. Instill in them a good work ethic. Teach them to try hard and to give their best effort all the time. And young people, don't expect to have a job handed to you on a platter when you finish school. You need to try hard, yes, while you're at school. Often your whole future will be determined by the results that you get at school. Whether you're doing a job at home or whether you're working for a boss, give your best every time. Make sure that your attitude is good. Even if it's a job that you don't particularly enjoy, it's not exactly what you want to do with your life, get your attitude right. Try hard, work hard. Don't be a sluggard. Life isn't meant to be easy. We're not meant to go through life being dependent upon other people. Okay, well, all of that's pretty bleak, and I'm sorry about that, but that's what the Proverbs have to say about the way some people approach work. All right, but if laziness is bad news, what about hard work? What are the benefits of hard work? And fortunately, the Proverbs tell us quite a bit about the benefits of hard work as well. Proverbs 13 verse 4, a sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. There's something very satisfying about achieving what you've worked hard for, as we've mentioned before. Whether it's a building project, whether it's passing an exam, whether it's raising a family, whether it's gaining a promotion, whether it's serving in some ministry, whatever the work is that you're doing, there's something very satisfying to see the end results of that effort that you have put in. To know that all the hard work that you've invested has paid off is a very satisfying thing, and so it ought to be. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see someone skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. They will not serve before officials of low rank. That's an interesting one. I think what that's saying is that sooner or later, the diligent worker is going to get noticed and he'll be rewarded for his hard work. When we read the Proverbs, we need to understand that they are not an absolute description of the way it will be. They are truths which have a general dimension attached to them. All right. Generally speaking, this is the way it is. That sooner or later, the person who works hard is going to be rewarded for his work. Good workers are in demand. Bosses want them on their team. They'll headhunt them because they want people on their team there who know how to work, who are reliable, who are trustworthy, who can do the job that they want done. Proverbs 28:19. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. Again, this is generally true. By the law of averages, hard workers end up becoming successful and prosperous at what they do because of what they do. Sure, God controls things like the weather and stock markets and interest rates and difficult bosses, those sorts of things. We don't have control over them. But as a general rule, hard work pays off and laziness doesn't. All right, so there are lots of benefits of hard work. At this point, I want to sound one note of caution that is relevant to all of the teaching that we find in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is full of practical wisdom, and it has so much to say about the way a person who fears God ought to live their life. But Proverbs is not the final word that God has given to us about life and godliness. It's not the final word. The final word only comes when we move forward to Christ and the revelation that we find in the New Testament. And so, before we finish this look at the whole subject of work, I think it's important that we also have a look at the difference that Jesus Christ wants to make to our understanding about this subject of work. And so, let me spend a few moments just talking about the difference that Jesus makes. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus told a parable about a man who was obviously a hard worker. In fact, he was such a hard worker that he didn't have enough room in his barns to store all his crops. So what he decided to do was to build more barns and bigger barns. But for what? Tells us that he wanted to do this so that one day he could eat, drink, and be merry. And God said to that man, "You're a fool. You're a fool." Because you see, all of his hard work was misdirected. God did not figure in his life. The only thing that he cared about was himself and being able one day to eat, drink, and be merry. And I think that the lesson that we learn from this parable of Jesus is that you can be very busy, working very hard, ticking off lots of boxes in life, but you need to stop and ask yourself, where is all this hard work leading me? Where is it taking me? What's the purpose behind it all? And Jesus wanted to challenge people to think carefully about their approach to life. How tragic it would be one day to have to stand before the Lord on the day of judgment and have him say, "You fool." On another occasion, in Matthew 25, Jesus told a parable about a wealthy man who divided up his money, gave it to three of his servants, and told them to work hard to get a good return on that money. And the day came when he came back to collect his profits. Would you believe it? But one of those three men went and buried the money. Make sure that he didn't lose it. He didn't even deposit it in the bank, where he could have at least gained a bit of interest. But the clear implication of that parable is that it is us. We are the ones who are the servants that God is entrusting his wherewithal to. Yes, we have different abilities and different capacities, but ultimately we are accountable to God for what we do with our lives and what he has invested in us. As Christians, if you're a Christian here today, you've got spiritual gifts that have been given to you by the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has at least one gift. Most Christians, I believe, have a number of spiritual gifts. Are we using those gifts that God has given to us? You see, it's one thing to have a good work ethic, but we can actually wear ourselves out doing things that don't actually have any eternal value attached to them if we're not careful. So as we conclude this morning, I want to pose a few questions for you to consider. And I think they're very relevant to this whole subject of work. Ask yourself, where does God fit into my working life? Where does God fit into my working life? Do I see God as the real boss that I am working for? Do I see myself as his representative each day as I go to work? Am I actually a witness for him, a positive witness for him in the workplace? This is what Paul wrote to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. You see, our real boss is God. And so the approach that we have to our work, the energy that we project into our work on a day-to-day basis, is ultimately because God is the one whom we are serving, because he is the one that we're wanting to please. It's worth thinking about, because sometimes, you know, we can take on board the attitude of the people who are we're working with, and we can do just enough to keep the boss off our backs. That's not good enough if you're a Christian. It might be the way that, you know, the world does things, but it's not good enough if you're a Christian. We need to understand that we are living our lives as stewards before God of what he has given to us. And it doesn't matter whether we're laying bricks, whether we're looking after the house at home, doing the housework, whether we're emptying bedpans, whatever we're doing, preparing a sermon even, we need to work hard and give it our best. The other question is this: in all the busyness of my life, am I helping to spread the good news of Jesus? It's interesting that when Jesus was hanging out with his disciples, there were occasions when he would look out, presumably out over the fields that were around about, and he could see with his spiritual eyes the harvest. And for Jesus, that harvest was the souls of people. And he was looking for workers who would go out into that harvest field and bring the harvest in. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, he said. And you know what? The need for the harvest to be brought in is just as great today as it was in Jesus' day. There are people who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is our responsibility, friends, to be involved in the work of bringing that harvest in. Are you involved in that? It's hard work. Often it's slow work. The financial rewards mightn't be all that great. It takes time and effort. But friends, it is crucial for us to be involved in the work of bringing that harvest in. What does that work look like in a practical sense? It might be planting little gospel seeds in a child's heart through children's ministry, or maybe even in the home, teaching RE in a school. It might be visiting somebody who's going through a hard time and encouraging them in their faith, reading the Bible with them, checking up on them to see how they're going, providing practical help for them as they're going through difficulty. It might be training for service as a missionary and giving up a good job and going off to Bible college or whatever the case may be. It might be working hard so that you can earn more money to be able to support somebody who's on the front line of gospel ministry. This is all gospel work, friends, and we are all meant to be involved in the midst of the business of life. This is work. This is gospel work. And we need to remember that we're not alone in this. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10, this is the way Paul described gospel work in his own life. I'm sorry, I haven't got the verse up on PowerPoint, but just listen as I read these verses. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. As an apostle, I worked hard, even harder perhaps than the other apostles, but not I. It was the grace of God that was actually at work in and through my life. And I believe that when we're involved in helping in some way to share the gospel of Christ, we can depend upon that special gift of grace that God gives gospel workers to be involved in that work and to be effective in that work. And I ask this morning as we close this service, are you involved in some way in working to help build the kingdom of God? Have you got your sleeves rolled up this morning, friends? Don't waste your life. It's a precious gift that God has given to you. Don't waste your gifts. They have been given to you by the Holy Spirit. We have one shot at life. Let's give it our best and let's live it for the Lord. Let's pray. Loving Father, as we examine our hearts this morning, please show us how you want us to respond. Lord, if we've been lazy, if our attitude's been bad, forgive us. Change our hearts and give us new motivations, Lord, that we might serve you and serve our boss and serve those around us, Lord, with all the energy that you provide for us. Help us to understand, Lord, that ultimately you're the one who's going to hold us accountable. But Lord, for some of us, we do work hard, but our work consumes us. In fact, so much so that we don't even have any time left to help spread the gospel of Jesus. And oh, Father, we pray that you'd convict us about that this morning as well too. Show us, Lord, how to see the opportunities that you see. And Lord, give us the desire to be involved and to use the gifts that you've given to us. Don't let us waste our lives, Lord, we pray. And Father, just give us that special measure of your grace that will enable us to be able to make our lives count and to bring great glory to you as we do it. Amen.